This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live.
We're back.
We are back.
Hey,
Free Talk Live.
Are we back?
We are.
What if I'm front or side?
Where am I?
You can be a top or a bottom with me anyhow.
I didn't say top or bottom. I said, what if I'm front or side?
Well, then we'll have to figure it out. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I love making co-hosts laugh while we're in the studio.
It's a good time.
Good times. Tis I, Mr. Richie Rich, along with
Fake Matt.
And Real Tyler.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Nice.
Verified.
Oh, did you KYC?
I got a little check mark next
to
my name.
He's got the blue check mark.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Put that on.
That's official. That's for sure.
So we've been talking about 3D printed guns, 3D printing in general, and Real Tyler... we had a conversation going on for a minute, but I want to get into this article, and then we'll jump back on the phones here. Americans under 30 have rapidly turned against gun control laws. So there's hope for the next generation?
Yeah. Like I said, to me, that sounds pretty white-pilling.
Why do you suppose the under 30 crowd, you know, skews towards, you know, more freedom when it comes to guns?
The under 30 crowd in general... like, surprises me that they skew to more freedom in general.
What do we call this new generation of people? Because, like, the millennials were, like, the newest ridiculed, you know, sort of word that I've heard as far as generations are concerned. What's the generation after?
It's Gen Z.
Yeah.
Which Zoomers.
Yeah, I'll accept Zoomers. But to me, that seems younger than 30.
Yeah,
like,
well,
30 to me still sounds
30
like
30 is millennial. A millennial. I'm a millennial. I think... 30 all the way, Gen Z starts pretty, I think if you're like in your mid-20s at this point, you're considered Gen Z. If you're like 25 or younger, you're Gen Z now.
Okay.
Let me just say that I don't like these generational titles at all. I believe they are divisive. They prohibit older people from interfacing with younger people because, oh, you millennial or, oh, you boomer, right? We've heard all of this.
Right.
And we've seen all of it across social media and even in our daily lives. I think that these titles are there to assist in dividing us rather than uniting us.
Oh, I agree. I think it's definitely a way to turn us into these generational tribes. But on the flip side of that, you know, the difference in what you believe and how you perceive the world does kind of, it is impacted by, you know, what it was like when you were growing up and your age group and what people are talking about, what they're thinking, you know, like, but I 100% agree. I think this idea of like the whole okay boomer thing that was circulating around the internet, it just discredits entire swaths of the population based on nothing more than the year they were born. It's ridiculous.
Well, and like a bunch of Gen Xers would be like, oh, it's the damn millennials causing all the problems these days and that kind of stuff. And it's like, no, none of this, you know, these are broad generalizations that aren't really true about individuals.
Well, okay, I hear your point. I hear what you're saying. And yet at the same time, those dividing lines, much like stereotypes in general, are there with a reason and have been divided along that line for a purpose.
What possible purpose could there be for these generational titles?
As Tyler said, it separates a...
And who decides when these lines occur and what the years are in between these and who makes up the titles?
Well, at this point, I think anyone can take credit for making up the titles because they manifest out of the community, and somehow stick.
Right? You think that these generational titles are anarchic?
I do.
Huh.
I don't think that there's a government organization going like, what are we going to call the next generation?
It's interesting
maybe
if that's the case.
Maybe.
I wonder if there's like but a study been still done on that. Because, like, I don't know how Gen X came about, Gen Y, Gen Z, any of the gens, right? I don't know how boomer. I do know how boomers came about because, well, it was during the war. And
it was a baby boom.
It was the baby boom, and that's how the boomers came about. They're like, oh, we're seeing an increase in the number of babies born, and they're calling it the baby boom, and that's how boomers came about. So that one makes sense from just sort of how nicknames become, right?
Right.
You know, if you're a really tall guy and you're nicknamed Tiny, well, you know, you get that. That's funny, right? So I get where boomers came from. I don't get where the rest of them came from.
So I think the rest, in my mind, it went from boomers to Gen X. I don't know what you would call those gap generations or years in between. Yeah. I think Gen X came from, like, an outcast terminology, right? Like, you know, the cross X, like, you know, anti-something or other. Like, that's just how you use the X. And then everything else is kind of built off that, right? Because it was X, Y, millennials, obviously, because they were, you know, at the turn of the millennium.
Turn of the century, right?
And Zoomers, because...
Thank you.
Right. Zoomers, because you had Gen X, Y, and then Z, and then what are you going to call the Z generation when you got Gen Z? Well, the okay boomer thing was a thing. Mm-hmm. There's already the Z there, and so they're the anti-boomer.
I think it's all derived from marketing, you know, to be honest. I think this is just a way to, like, divide people into groups that you can provide them consumer advertisement to.
Those are my thoughts on it. Like, I think that somewhere around the internet are a bunch of marketing types who are like, yes, let's coin this term
right.
and use it to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Regardless, I'm just, do you mind if I dive into the article?
Hold that thought then, because we're going to go to the phones real quick.
Oh, cool. Still That's even better.
We have Joe from Michigan. You're on the air, Joe.
Yeah, my comment kind of ties into what you guys are talking about. I was going to say that those of us who are part of the 2A community.
That's the Second Amendment crowd that you think, Matt.
Yeah, we need to, you know, we're not that great at PR, and I would say, you know, invite people that you know that aren't into guns to come to the range with you, and don't bring the most powerful guns you got. Bring something that they're going to enjoy shooting. And
little plinkers.
We need to make it normal.
Range.
Well, I mean, especially these days, you want to bring something where the ammo's cheap.
Amen, man. I think the biggest problem is a lack of outreach. People, you know, people go to the gun range and they're intimidated and nobody wants to work with them, or like they just get chastised for safety the whole time. No one's making it friendly or exciting, and I think that's an issue. In the last year, I've had so many people, especially females, come to me and be like, hey, can you teach me to learn to shoot? I want to get into guns. A lot of it has to do with COVID and just people are scared about the social fabric. And now is exactly the right time to get people excited about gun culture.
Yeah. So do you have any tips for people out there, Joe, on how to broach that subject? Or
Just, you know, normal conversation, people that you already know. I've turned people on to guns that weren't really into them. They were kind of neutral on it. You know, they would believe pretty much whatever the media said. And let's be honest, the anti-gun people, they're a lot more – they're better at PR. You know, if some nut goes crazy and shoots up a school or a store or something, you know, that's not great optics, but that's very rare. It's not most gun violence is suicides and gang stuff.
That's true.
You know, with 300 and some million people in this country, man, if gun ownership was an issue, this would be like the Middle East. You know, every American city would be like, you know, Afghanistan or something, and it's not.
So how do you counter that PR when the mainstream media, where the vast majority of people get their news, is anti-gun?
Well, I will say, it's like you guys were talking about the under 30s. I think younger generation, because of the internet, I think they're more skeptical of the media than the older generation was.
So it's a problem that'll solve itself over time.
Yeah, and I've noticed when I've gone to the range, you know, it used to be it'd be like, you know, I hate to sound stereotypical, but just be like white guys, you know. But now you see a lot more women, a lot more younger people, a lot more minorities. And at some point, somebody reached out to them people. And plus the
maybe
of gun
they may have just seen all the violence that's being perpetrated against their group and deciding to take a stand for themselves.
I have a question for, well, any of you, really, including the caller.
Joe.
Joe and Richie and Tyler. Yeah. I've seen this happen where when, as Joe said, there's somebody who shoots up like a school or something, and all of a sudden, like, they want to pass laws, you know, limiting your guns or whatever. But when a cop shoots somebody, they never want to pass new laws limiting guns. Why is that?
All right, I'm going to hold you over, Joe, if you want to answer Captain's question, and we'll talk about it more on the other side.
I've got to go, man.
Okay. Right. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Why does that happen when the police are responsible for shooting?
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And we're back.
Woo-hoo.
Anarchy Live, Thursday night edition of Free Talk Live, where you, the listener, can call in and have your thoughts expressed on air.
Here's how you call in. You stand on top of a mountain and go, Free Talk Live!
Ricola.
If you yodel a little bit, it makes it easier for us to connect to you and get you on the air.
The beacon is lit.
Send up a smoke signal with this in Morse code, 603-283-6160, and we'll have Captain on the rooftop receiving those smoke signals at 603-283-6160. Sitting here in the studio tonight, 'tis I, Mr. Richie Rich, along with...
I'm not Matt, and I'm a poor substitute for him.
But you are the captain.
I am the captain, it's true.
And I am Tyler, and I'm a great substitute for me.
You are a good substitute for yourself. Have you been stolen and replaced with an exact duplicate?
If I was, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe. You got to check your eyelid to see how many dots have been put in there.
Right.
So, and the reason there's so many substitutes here tonight, unfortunately, is because the Crypto 6.
It is true.
On March 16th, 2020. Is that right? That's not right.
Yeah. It's been over a month.
It's not 2020.
Oh, 2021, yeah.
Yeah. On March 16th, 20...
cross it out and
I will fix that. Yeah. On March 16th, live read.
I don't know that we have one.
On March 16th, 2021, government agencies conspired together and raided the Free Talk Live studio, the Bitcoin Embassy, and the homes of Aria DeMezzo, Renee and Andy Spinella, and Colleen Fordham. The Crypto 6 were then arrested and taken into custody, and Ian Freeman and nobody remain in custody. What can you do to help? Check out TheCrypto6, that is all spelled out, .com, TheCrypto6.com. There are multiple ways in which you can donate to their legal defense fund, because these charges aren't a joke. It's going to take a serious legal team and many experts to protect the Crypto 6 from further aggression from the state. This case will likely set precedent that will affect the world of cryptocurrency for decades to come. Help them in their fight for liberty and financial freedom by contributing to their legal defense fund at thecrypto6.com. Once more, thecrypto6.com. And I know they talked about it a little bit last night. There's a GoFundMe set up. I don't know if that's up on that website yet.
They've got one set up for Aria.
Yep.
If you just Google, I believe, Aria GoFundMe, it'll probably pop up. You might have to put the word trans in there to find the correct one.
The right Aria? The only trans
The one
Aria.
True Aria?
Yeah, there you go.
There are many Aria.
But this one.
This one is ours.
This one has a GoFundMe.
This one has a GoFundMe. Okay. I'm sure there's more than one Aria with a GoFundMe.
All right. Well, hopefully it'll be up on thecrypto6.com at some point. You wanted to rephrase your question as we went off.
I just want to say it a little better.
Clarify it.
Yeah, it occurs to me that when a non-police officer, a citizen, if you will,
takes
a gun and shoots up a place, that all of a sudden the lawmakers want, we got to take away more gun rights. We got to limit. When a cop shoots a person or murders a person, that never occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
You want to take a shot at this, Tyler?
I mean, that's a great question. I think it has to do with the media narrative, which, you know, goes into what I was talking about, too, which I'll also bring up is, you know, the media will take any instance where there's a mass shooting, which is a mass shooting is literally just two or more people were shot at by a person, which, you know, they don't seem to bring in gang crime into the equation. But regardless, they'll take that and they will run with it and make it national news. But you never hear about the dozens, maybe hundreds, possibly even thousands of instances happening every year where legal gun owners use their guns in defense of themselves or other people.
Yep.
So I want to tie into that sentiment, because the way you asked the question, Captain, I think that that's part of the answer. Is when a civilian or a normie or whatever regular person shoots up someplace, it's usually an act of aggression. It's usually in violation of the rights and liberties of somebody else. And when a cop does it, the situation that they're responding to, right, that is usually an act of aggression, and they are there in the responsibility of protection of life and liberty of a third party. And that's part of why they get qualified immunity, because
like,
it's part of their duty.
Like, I understand what you're saying. If that were true,
mm-hmm.
I'm not certain that that is true. because we see and hear of police committing murder or otherwise shooting otherwise innocent people or shooting them with the wrong thing, thinking they have a taser. You know, we hear these stories all the time. Particularly, we cover them a lot here on Free Talk Live, and they get covered in the libertarian media very frequently, but not in the mainstream media. Now, if what you're saying is true, then I would agree with you, but I don't think that that is true, at least not all of the time.
Okay. It's an appeal to authority, and I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but that argument is, well, the cops are there because we want them to be, and we allow them to have guns to do their job, so, you know, let's make sure they're doing their job, and we give them the right to do that. It's this idea that the government has a monopoly on violence, and it goes back to what we were saying right earlier. If you're using your gun in self-defense, then you should have every same right that police officers have. But like you said, qualified immunity, police officers are granted special extra rights because right they've been anointed as the protectors.
And I'm attempting to make the case. I'm no fan of police, so don't call in and call me a bootlicker or anything like that. I'm doing my best to make the case. If you want to make the case for me, do please call in and support this. But what you said, that they're granted extra immunity, part of that is the case to be made is that as part of their job to protect the public, they must go above and beyond the normal natural rights of the everyday citizen in order to protect the public from this aggressor, right? And sometimes that aggressor, you know, resisting arrest or, you know, high off of drugs and PCP and whatever you want, mm-hmm, like, those individuals may not be willing to submit to arbitration peacefully as we as the libertarian community would like them to. And they must be compelled to cease their aggression in some form or fashion. Now, you as the average everyday citizen, it's not your responsibility to detain that person, to hold them back, to secure them somehow.
Right. In theory, the libertarian view would be the property owner's responsibility.
And as we discussed at the beginning of the show, you can send that out and give those responsibilities to somebody else.
Yeah.
And again, this is just the argument. As a society, the people we have given agency to protect the life, liberty, and property of private property owners is the local police force.
I didn't give them any agency.
I understand you didn't,
Rich,
but that's the argument.
I know that you're playing devil's advocate, and your argument actually is pretty sound, but there is one flaw, and that has to do with the fact that, like, I don't know if it was the Supreme Court, maybe it was a circuit court, but there was a decision made that cops don't actually have an obligation to protect citizens.
Right. That's a Supreme Court issue.
Right, yeah, and their job is to enforce the laws of the government.
Understood.
So, you know,
but having no obligation also does not mean that when called to exercise that duty, that they're not supposed to.
Mm, yeah.
If you call the police, they're supposed to use whatever force is necessary to protect your life, liberty, and property. Agree with me, disagree with me, I don't care. Call it and plus why. 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. More coming up on Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Look, folks, Wall Street didn't build this country. You did. The middle class did. And unions built the middle class.
President Biden's comments there, the president holding one of his drive-in rallies in Georgia, marking his 100th day in office. The president also urging all Americans over the age of 16 to roll up their sleeves and get vaccinated. Former President Donald Trump says he is considering running again in 2024 with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as his running mate. Trump telling Fox Business that DeSantis is a friend of his and a great guy. He added that endorsing DeSantis for governor helped the Florida Republican lift off like a rocket ship. And as the NFL draft is underway, star quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, is reportedly telling his team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. USA Radio News. More than a year after many in the United States were forced into lockdowns by the pandemic, Americans are taking to the road again, whether returning to work or taking long-delayed vacations. But travel plans could be disrupted in the months ahead due to a possibility of gasoline shortages. There's an abundant supply of petroleum, but according to one trade group, almost a quarter of the country's tanker trucks are currently idled because there's no one to put behind the wheel.
Last year, during the pandemic, many of the drivers retired or they went to different industries, and that created a shortage.
Janet McGee, AAA's Director of External Communications, speaking there on ABC's Good Morning America. McGee continues with what you can expect when you hit the open road.
What we're looking at is a summer in terms of it's happening most likely in spots that are very popular in terms of travel destinations for the summer. So beaches, so mountains.
The Dow gaining 240 points on Thursday to close at 3460. USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
So there were some questions as to whether or not we were back. And let me assure you, we're back with Free Talk Live.
Thanks, man. I wasn't sure.
603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, Richie Rich, along with...
The Captain.
And Tyler.
And prior to that last... little break there, we were talking about, like, you know, me playing devil's advocate to an extent. Like, I don't necessarily believe all the words that are coming out of my mouth, but I do think that the argument is strong, at least strong enough where the vast majority of people will buy into it.
Well, yeah, the vast majority of people will believe that particular argument regardless of the evidence.
The argument can be made, but if you were to take the same organization and make it private, they're held to the same standards as us. Like, there are communities in America that have private security rather than police force, and they're actually more effective. They kill less people by accident, and if they do screw up, they're held to the same standards a regular citizen is.
Yeah,
and they have the same responsibilities.
And you can fire them and hire a different agency if they do a crap job.
Which is a great idea.
And that part I will agree with. Your point going off, Tyler, was, you know, the Supreme Court issue regarding, you know, their obligation to protect, and the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that there is no obligation for the police to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to do it if they don't want to. However, someone calls 911. they have the opportunity to respond. They're not harassing some guy on the side of the road. So, yeah, we'll take this call. Why not? You know, and they show up, and they may not have the obligation to protect you, but they could. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you want them to do if you are the caller of 911.
Or they could shoot you, or they could shoot your dog, or they could.
You know, when I was a new-time listener to this show years ago, I was still in the military at the time, and it was hard for me to digest some of the points made on this show. Right? Because you're sitting there going like, wait a minute, that's not right. You can't say that about cops or military. And I'd think about it and be like, yeah, but they've got a good point. And so, you know, I just want to take this opportunity right now to point out that, like, the criticism isn't that, like, cops are always bad. The criticism is that, like, cops are given so much power and, like, leeway that they're allowed to be bad and get away with it.
Well, and my point specifically when it comes to police is that you have no choice and you can't fire them.
And you can't fire them. So, you know, what's the answer anytime there is trouble in a police department is the city government or whatever, you know, municipality goes, well, we just need more funding. If we had more funding, we could do more training, we could get better officers, and it just grows and grows and grows.
And here's another rebuttal for you, Captain and Tyler, is if your concern is that the problem with the mainstream media and their handling of civilian shootings is that they want to restrict gun rights for the rest of us, right? I don't want them treating the police like normal citizens, because that means when the cops pop off, the response from the media is going to be, well, we got to stop everyone from having guns. Like, cops shouldn't have guns and normal people shouldn't. It's still going to be an anti-gun response.
That's actually a fair point. That's hard to argue. I mean, if I were to say that anyone's gun rights should be restricted, it would be cops. But I also agree that it's like, I'm with you. I don't think anyone's rights to guns should be stopped. But if you're going to have this kind of monopolistic authority, then you have to be held to a higher standard.
I keep saying it, and I'll say it again because it's worth saying, because it hasn't been done yet. If the police are as tight-knit of a group as they claim to be, thin blue line, and we're, you know, badge brothers, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If they are as tight as they claim to be, and they wish to improve their reputation, it's real frickin' easy. All they gotta do is stop arresting people for victimless crimes. That's right. Anytime there's not a victim or there's no property damage, you just go, yeah, not going to arrest you.
You know, as someone who carries a weapon when they go out in public, I feel like I am providing a social benefit, knowing that if there is something that happens where someone's being violent around me, I can respond. And I feel like there's a lot of people that feel like they have that kind of social responsibility to be a protector. And in a perfect world, I would have been a cop, right? But my problem, and it's been this way my whole life. I've never wanted to be a cop, even like way back in high school, because I knew there were rules that cops have to enforce that I just don't agree with.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to bust some kids for smoking pot in an alley. Like, that doesn't concern me in the slightest. Like, at most, I'd be like, where are your parents? You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, this idea that you're, like, going around giving people tickets for having a taillight out.
Or too dark a window.
Or too dark of a window tint. Like,
saw that one.
It's ridiculous. And it's just a racket to produce income.
Generally, you are correct. One of the difficulties with you as the social protector out in public is that the way the system is currently set up, you are disincentivized from helping in those situations.
Yep.
Because the roles are reversed, right? You, the average citizen who's carrying a firearm or whatever weapon you know you're choosing to carry, have such a higher bar set for you on when you can act, how you can act, and the responsibilities of your actions that the police don't have because they have qualified immunity.
Yeah, for instance, I mean, if you're in, like, say, a Walmart or something, and there's an active shooter, and you're on the other side of the building, as a gun owner and, like, a gun carrier, your first move should be to escape the building.
Absolutely.
Like, you should not be trying to be a hero going across this Walmart to go stop this shooter. And that has a lot to do with what you're talking about, Rich. Like, you know, you could shoot a bystander. You could just get killed in the process. But, like, also,
Somebody else with a gun might think you're the violator.
Well, that's the problem. At the end of the day, the cops show up and they see you with a gun, and they don't realize that you weren't the original shooter. You're trying to defend people, and now you're getting shot for doing something that you might have thought was valiant or heroic.
And as the valiant hero in that case, you were held to a higher standard because you could have escaped.
Yep.
What were you doing, attacking the gunman?
Right.
That is not your role in society, sir.
Right.
The reason you carry a gun is to protect your life and your property and the immediate danger of those around you. And if you're going halfway down aisle 17 in Walmart, there's no way you're going to be able to justify immediate danger to yourself and those around.
I'd like to talk a minute and get your guys' thoughts on incentive, because my problem with the organization known as government largely is that everybody is they don't have the correct incentives, because they have a monopoly on violence. They have a monopoly on whatever, even like the Parks Department. They've got a monopoly on what they do and how they do it. And so nobody has the incentive like they do in the free market to innovate or to make things more efficient or to create better methods and systems, right? It only comes from the top down. New law is passed. Okay, well, new law is passed. We got to do this now. That's the only way change occurs in the organization known as government. Now, if we talk specifically about police, they do not have the incentive to do the things that most Americans are taught to believe that police will do for them. They have no incentive to do any of that.
That is correct. Was there a question there?
No, I just want your thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But that is a problem that perpetuates all of government. Right? There's no government agency properly incentivized to serve the public the way that they are, designed to do or purported to do.
Part of the problem is the types of incentives that put people in those positions, right? There was a mass shooting. I don't remember if it was Parkland. I think it was Parkland. There was a cop on the scene as the active shooters were going about what they were doing, but he was by himself. And so he was too scared to go in and stop the shooter, and he didn't have an obligation to do so.
Right. Seems justifiable.
Or incentive.
Well, right, but if you're going to be a cop, that's kind of what we assume that you would do. And somebody else in that situation might have had the courage to do so.
But campus police, he only wanted to deal with students that weren't shooting it up. Your thoughts, 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. More coming up on Free Talk Live.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Are we back?
We are.
Where am I?
You're in the radio studio, man.
What? Oh, right. Yes.
Okay. Speak in Yoda, we do?
For this segment, sure. Give it a shot.
Live talk free, this is.
That's great.
I would like to carry that on, but I'm going to give out the correct call-in number.
Please do.
603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. That is how you get your thoughts on the air in the studio tonight. Richie Rich.
The captain filling in for Matt.
And
poorly.
Tyler.
Doing a great job.
I just had to add poorly. No, I like Matt.
We've been talking about guns and gun control
all night. I like Matt as a host.
This is a dedication
to Matt. A whole bunch. And he and I are very different personalities, but I enjoy him being on the show, so I am no substitute for him.
You're not my real Matt. I'm not your real Matt.
I learned it from watching you.
I think that is one of the greatest dynamics of Free Talk Live is the sheer volume of rotating hosts, because you get so many different perspectives.
Well, and I'd just like to take a second and say to everybody that has co-hosted since March 16th, since the raid of the terrorists on the Free Talk Live studio and the Crypto 6 being arrested, I want to say thank you to everybody who has hosted or co-hosted this show for keeping it alive, for keeping it going, keeping it on the air, and doing a great job. Thank you to all the hosts and co-hosts.
Absolutely.
And I will second that. And one of the first shows that I was back on after that raid, one of the themes that I used in private conversations with you, Captain, was like Hail Hydra. Right? Yeah. I said that a number of times because you take out the handful of hosts from the Crypto 6 and the sheer volume of people going like, I can do it. I can be there. I would like to be on air for you with you guys was immense and enormous. And, rotating them all in and scheduling is challenging.
Yeah. We had people that used to host, volunteer to host. We had people who have never hosted or co-hosted. Be like, dude, if you need somebody, you know, I'm a little afraid of it, but I'm happy to sit in if you got a chair to fill, that kind of a thing.
Right.
And the outpouring of support that way was very, very cool to see.
Well, and shout out to you too, Captain, because I remember the day that happened, coming over here and being like, hey, do you guys need help cleaning up? And you were in here working to get the show on air that exact same day.
I was.
And that had to take a lot of motivation, because I feel like an instance like that has to take the wind out of your sails. And you're like, can we even get the show running? Do we have everything we need? But you weren't fazed by it, and you just punched through it, and then we were on that night.
Well, we didn't actually broadcast that night. We did a show that night.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make the radio broadcast.
It didn't make the radio broadcast.
But there was a live YouTube broadcast. It still went out, and there was still production being.
Yeah, and then the next, I don't know, 5 or 6 days, the audio quality that did make it to the radio was sort of up and down.
Mm-hmm.
We had some problems with some static and that kind of a thing. But we managed to broadcast somehow, some way. Now, why would a guy be motivated? What was my incentive,
right,
if you will, right? We were talking amongst ourselves during the break about incentive. What was my incentive? I really didn't have one. What happened was I was over at the Mighty Moose Mart hanging out with the rest of the crowd who were basically berating the cops verbally. Berating's probably a tough word, but like, you know,
chastising,
sharing their opinions with the police about what they were doing, and, you know, to our friends, arguably. And I got a call from Mark, because he's, you know, the co-founder of Free Talk Live, and we talked a little bit, and he's like, have you been over to the studio? I'm like, I tried to get over there, but I couldn't get over there. I understand that people are able to get over there now. And he's like, are you willing to go and see if we can't get something going? I'm like, absolutely. You know, so I came right over. It was a mess, man. Glass everywhere. You know, folks who live in this building were, you know, already on cleanup duty. There was a couple other people, friends of the community, also coming over to see what they could do to, like, help secure the place, because it was totally wide open. Anybody could have just walked in and started thieving or whatever, you know what I mean? And so I just started looking at stuff, and I'm like, well, okay, it looks like this goes here, and looks like that goes there, and I knew that I could at least get a recording of a show done, so that was my minimal criteria there. I brought in a couple extra pieces of gear that I own for that specific purpose, and then between recording the one show that Thursday, was it a Thursday night?
I think it was.
Or was it a Tuesday?
I want to
Tuesday
say
it. Sounds better.
I think it was Tuesday night, yeah. But anyway, between recording the show the night of the raid, and then the next day I came over early and worked on, you know, just doing some tech stuff, sort of behind the scenes and that kind of a thing, and was able to reestablish the connection to the folks who actually distribute the broadcast to all the radio stations. That, for me, was like winning the frickin' Super Bowl, man. You know what I mean? Like, I was so glad when I got that connection reestablished. I'm like, yes, the show will not die. I'm a huge fan of this show, even before I was a host. There's no other show like Free Talk Live on the air that I'm aware of.
No.
Where folks can call in, talk about whatever they want. You know, generally the hosts and co-hosts come from a perspective of freedom, liberty, peace, prosperity, right? These are all things.
I think that's the criteria for being a host. You have to at least some sort of shared values if you don't agree on everything.
Yeah. And also, I couldn't think of a better middle finger to give to the multiple alphabet agencies that came in here and over there and to the other few places and arrested the crypto. I couldn't think of a better middle finger than to keep this show on the air.
Absolutely. You know, I was doing this show a little bit last fall, and, you know, it was, for me, it was just for fun. And it was one of those things where it's like, you know, 5 years ago, if you'd asked me, like, or if you told me I'd be a host on the show, I'd be like, get out of here. No. I mean, because the show's what got me to New Hampshire. This is what, like, introduced me to all of these ideas. And, but then, you know, when Mark asked me, he's like, hey, we need hosts to come back on the show. I was like, yeah, of course. Now it matters. To me, it felt like now it was different. You know, now it was, you have to make a stand at a certain point.
You're right. It did change a little bit. It was a little more sort of light, and I don't know if go-lucky is the right term, but there was a little more, you know.
You knew the show was going to go on because you knew Ian was going to be here to do it no matter what.
Right.
That guy was super dedicated to the show no matter what. And then all of a sudden, it was like, you know, if there's not enough people to show up, the show's not going to go on.
Right.
I think that, again, demonstrates the community around the show.
Absolutely.
Like, even without Ian, mm-hmm. right, the show managed to go on. And that's not to dismiss the contributions that Ian has given.
No, I wish he were here right now because we're still not quite
understood
100% on the back end.
But the way he built it was that in his absence, the show could go on. And we have, and we've done so. And during, I want to tie this into part of the conversation we were having during the break, and that is the community of libertarianism, or mm-hmm. however you want to phrase that, and how it seems to be diametrically opposed to individuality, of which, you know, libertarians purport and propose.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it the fatal flaw of libertarianism, and that's everyone's an individual. Everyone's, you know, should be treated on an individual basis, and yet the human species has this innate desire for community and sociability.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how do you reconcile that when everyone wants to be an individual, everyone wants to do their own thing? The example that we gave was, you know, the degenerate, you know, who only wants to, like, do drugs and do whatever they want and lounge about and do whatever, you know, out in the fields in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, the betterment of the community as a whole.
Right.
And what do you do with that degenerate?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the way you put it is perfect, because what it says is that the libertarian community, at least here in New Hampshire, we practice what we preach, right? And we're living the type of life that we say could exist in the absence of a state. Who's going to build the roads? Who's going to man the hospitals and the fire trucks? Well, who's going to host the show when the host goes to jail?
Right.
People are going to step up and do the right thing. And, you know, those people that, like, want to sit out in the woods and smoke crack and not hang out with anybody, they'll still exist no matter what, right? But there's always going to be someone that feels that sense of community and feels that social obligation and says, I'm going to do this even if it's at a detriment to me, because I know that the community needs it.
But should those people, I'm just going to continue to use the word degenerate because it sort of fits.
Yeah.
Should those degenerates be ostracized from the greater community as a whole because of their behavior?
I mean, that's something that I think, I don't know that you can ostracize somebody from the community as a whole, because that needs a definition. What you can do is you can ostracize them from private property.
Sure.
So if you don't want, you know, Bill the degenerate, I'm just using the word Bill. I don't know anybody named Bill as a degenerate.
You know who we're talking about, Bill.
But, you know, if you don't want him coming on your property, tell him so. And then generally that ends the problem.
For you as an individual, with him as an individual,
right,
but not the great.
We talk more about this. I have more thoughts on it.
603-283-6160 if you have thoughts. Again, Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.